Welcome to Senior Power of Maine. Hi, I'm your host, David Neely, and as the past publisher of Maine Seniors Magazine, I know that senior power is Maine's greatest natural resource. Yes, I said senior power. Maine senior citizens are the reason Maine has the highest volunteer rate in the nation. In fact, the involvement of our seniors in community and civic organizations provide the very fabric of our cities and towns, making them great places to live. And Maine is also considered a generous state, despite our low income, with most of our philanthropy coming from, you guessed it, Maine's seniors. This radio program, Senior Power of Maine, will be filled with a combination of entertainment and information for mature audiences only. So if you are a senior partner or work with those who are, you'll want to grab a cup of coffee and enjoy our Senior Power Half Hour. Lynn, you know, we've been fortunate here on Senior Power Radio to have on somebody who we could almost consider a senior partner of the show. He's been a Maine humorist for quite some time. In fact, this gentleman, Gary Crocker, apparently had heard some of his first stories from his grandfather, Russell. In fact, he had been influenced and made the decision to be a Maine humorist in part from the legendary Marshall Dodge. And you know, we've had him on sharing some humor, but we really don't know much about this fella down from West Gardner, Maine, do we?
No, I'm dying to hear all about it and how he got started.
Well, maybe we ought to give him a buzz and welcome him on the show to speak a little bit about his early beginnings in comedy.
What do you think, Gary? Are you ready?
Yes, I am, dear.
Oh, yeah? Good. I can't wait to hear this story. So tell me, what was your first interest? What really made you think you wanted to do this?
Well, I wasn't that good at academics when I first started school. My father told my sister and I, told both of us, you kids, stay on the honor roll right through high school, and I'll buy you a car when you graduate. Yeah. Well, I was out of the running in the first grade. I got a nice watch for graduation. My sister got a car. So my point of that is, I realized early on that academics weren't my friend. So I started making people laugh instead, and teachers would overlook my weaknesses in favor of the fact that I'd make them laugh and they'd have a good time during the day. So humor was always a tool for me to make good things happen, initially just for me. And eventually it expanded to realizing that it had a lot of impact on a lot of people around me. And I've had one story after another of people throughout the country, actually, that I've had people say things to me about how humor has affected me and what I did, how it affected their lives. It actually scared me a couple of times. I thought, well, if humor's that powerful, I better be darn careful what I'm saying. So, but that's how it started right there, getting through school.
That'll do it.
Well, it did for me.
Well Gary, now, you know, I think all of us have heard the expression of class clown. I mean, did you actually ever make some people laugh and get in trouble for it through the years?
I did make people laugh. I did get in trouble, but I was not the class clown. I looked at my yearbook from high school. I went to Monmouth Academy in Monmouth, Maine. Little school, there were only 60 of us in the class, and a fellow named Danny Crocker, no relation to me, by the way, was the class clown. He beat me out by several hundred votes, I think. Anyway, I didn't even make it the class clown, even though I'd used humor to fight my way to graduation from high school. And then I used it to deal with Vietnam right after that, and I used it to deal with the University of Maine at Orono after that. It's humor has kept me alive. When I was a lobbyist for the Maine Community College System for about 20 years up in the state house here in Augusta, I actually had occasionally, not every time, but occasionally I had committee chairs say, listen, before you start your testimony on this bill, you got a story you can tell us? We're having a rough day. So they read, and then I'm the only, I'm so proud of this, I am the only Maine humorist that's ever been invited to speak in front of the Maine legislature, the House of Representatives. That happened about 7 times, and once in front of the Maine Senate while they were in session. I'm the only one that's ever been given that honor.
Well, that's very impressive, Gary.
But it's to me. That's it. Well, my life's over now. Moving on.
Yeah, well, I think they need you down in Washington, D.C. even more, Gary.
Agreed.
I would agree.
No, but seriously, though, you must have had some teacher scold you before if you had gotten a few students to laugh and she wasn't sure if that was appropriate at the time. There must have been a little something going on, and I realize that it is a sensitive issue. At least the fellow who was class clown was named Crocker, so for those of us that didn't have the distinction that he was no relative, they might have thought, well, gee, you know, I remember a Crocker back in school that was pretty funny. In fact, he was a class clown. But no, you must have had some teacher that scolded you at some point, and then you talked to them, and you probably made them laugh.
Well, usually that would happen. I did have one time in the fifth grade where a teacher took no interest in my humor. None at all. And she was a pretty humorless person overall, and I was doing my best to bring her around and give her some help in life. And she never did buy into it, and it got to bad. One day I left school. I walked away from the school, but I said, well, we've had enough here. So and she sent my cousin, who was bigger than me, to get me. He was bigger than me, but he was heavy set. If you know, he shopped in the Husky aisle, and I could outrun him. So, he didn't catch up with me. My dad and I had a chat that night, but other than that, everything went good that day. But yeah, I had a couple of times where teachers would take offense. They didn't quite understand what I was getting at, and frankly, at the time, I wasn't sure I was doing the right thing either. I was just trying to get through the day. But now I realize, looking back, that I was really kind of a medicinal for the educational process.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Well, you would have been in my class. I had some of those dry teachers too, Gary.
Well, I was just introduced the other day. I just spoke because I'm a veteran. I was invited to speak at Post Number 2, American Legion Post Number 2, here in Augusta on Veterans Day. And a former student of mine at Coney High School in Augusta, taking a speech class from me, get up and did part of the introduction. He did kind of an overview of our relationship, and he had a job there at the American Legion Post. Anyway, I got introduced, and then he got up, and he said, I just want you to know that Mr. Crocker, who's going to be speaking here in a moment, is, he was the cool teacher. And I think that's how he saw it. I was fresh out of college, so I hadn't learned some of the tricks of being, you're supposed to never smile before Christmas or you'll cry all the way to June. That's the teacher anthem right there.
Jeez.
Yeah, never smile before Christmas or you'll cry all the way to June. And that's not how it worked for me. Yeah. Maybe because I was fresh out of the university. I don't know what it was. But at any rate, apparently, and I didn't realize this at the time either, I was using humor, as always, to get things rolling, and I was referred to as the cool teacher just the other day when I was introduced. So I wish I'd known I was that cool. I really do. I'd have made some hay with that. But as usual, I was in the DAC.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
Welcome back to Senior Power. We are talking with Gary Crocker.
Gary, I don't want to date you. Maybe Lynn does, but I do note that you were actually a paid humorist in 1980 at a Rotary Club meeting. Now, if my math is correct, and it frequently isn't, but that's some 41 years ago. You were booked at a Rotary Club. And my guess is humor's changed a little bit over the years. And I was going to wonder, from your perspective, if that has actually happened or not.
Well, you know, you're right. It has changed a lot, but not for me. And that's the interesting part of what I do. I'm actually holding on to part of my introduction says, please join me at the end of my... I wrote my own introduction, so I wouldn't be surprised by anything. And at the last line in my introduction, when people get up to introduce me to speak, they start by saying, you know, Gary Crocker lives on a dirt road in West Gardner, Maine, with his lovely wife, Ellen. And I usually interrupt and say, she wrote that part. And then we keep going. I get a little laugh here and there. And at the end, they say, what did they say? Geez, I wish I had the introduction with me. Oh, my goodness, it's not coming to me. I got off on a tangent, and I can't find my way home.
Well, it was about changes in comedy over the years, but you have been consistent.
Exactly. Exactly. And so what the introduction says is he's here to share some main stories in the classic main tradition. And I realized... lately, in fact, I had someone call me the other day, actually from Channel 6, reporter talked to me and said, thinking of doing a piece on the main humorists that are still telling main stories the way they used to be told. And he said, you know, there's only about two or three of you left. Bob Skoglund's one of them, the humble farmer up in St. George. And John... There's a fellow named John who's escaped my last name. He's down in Portland. Just had a big medical event as well. I heard about it. And Tim Sample is pretty much in that genre as well. But the new fellows have really become, they're more comedians than storytellers. When Tim, myself, Bob Skoglund, and John, and, well, we lost a couple. We've lost two or three recently. They passed away that they... We all told the old main stories, you know, about privies. And you know the difference between a privy and an outhouse, right?
Nope.
Well, this is a fact. It's not a joke. It's just the truth. And I like to get it out there because I see people mislabel them all the time. There aren't many privies left, to be honest with you. Because a privy is it's a bathroom facility that's just a hole in a piece of wood that's attached to the house, to the main structure. And an outhouse is a building that's separate from the facility. You have to walk out through the field to get to it, which is why it's referred to as an outhouse. And the other one is referred to as a privy because it's private, right inside the house somewhere or attached to it. My grandmother, when I grew up, my grandmother had a privy. And so I learned early on the difference between a privy and an outhouse. She said, the difference, Mr. Man, is you're not going to get your feet wet in the wintertime walking out through a bank of snow to get to the outhouse. You can just, it's going to be cold, and you're going to freeze to the seat and all of that stuff, but you're going to be inside the building, more or less. So now you know the difference between a privy and an outhouse.
I don't know how I lived this long without knowing that. That's awesome.
It is awesome. It's nice to know important facts. But see, so I talk about that kind of humor. I think it's unnatural to let it go away. It would be a sin. It'd be a shame to let those old stories. There's a story that I can't tell here. It's way too long. But I happen to know that this particular story that I love to tell is well over 100 years old, written by a fellow up in Bryant Pond. And it's on one of my CDs. It's all about a moose caller, a fellow named Gagnon. He's the best moose caller in the world. The world champion moose caller. And it is one heck of a story. And I have people, this is crazy, because it happens with, you know, the difference between musicians and comedians or humorists is that musicians play the same songs every night. And people will, in fact, they'll yell out particular songs they want to hear. That doesn't happen as a rule with humorists or comedians. They don't yell out, hey, tell them what about whatever. But in my case, I've had people actually yell out, can you tell Gagnon one more time? And so I will. And I, in fact, I hadn't told it for probably 15 years. And someone yelled it out not too long ago, and I fought my way through it. I hadn't told it for so long. I had to put the pieces together as I went. But and that's the other thing about storytelling, main storytelling. The storyteller works with the crowd and builds. It's the same story. It's the same punchline. It's the same buildup, but not exactly. And that's why I think Marshall Dodge, the one that said he was introducing one of his tales one day, and because he was a collector of main stories, that's what he did. He didn't write material as a rule. He wrote some, but he collected main stories. And he would say, I'm going to tell that story about the fella down there caught in the weeds, caught in the tide pool down there in Bar Harbor. Yeah, it goes something like, but not exactly like this. And so his point and my point is storytelling is an act, and it's not to be dealt with as a science so that it's the same every time. And I will tell you, sometimes when you rebuild a story and you get to the end of it and people don't laugh, you realize you left a couple of bricks out there somewhere.
So, David, if I want to listen to last week's episode, where do I go to do that?
All you have to do is go to seniorpower.me. That is seniorpower.me, short for Maine, seniorpower.me, and listen to your favorite episode of Senior Power. Gary, have you ever posed something only for the purpose of trying to lighten up somebody's life with throwing some humor in where you realize, jeepers, maybe this wasn't the exact perfect application of that particular word or saying? And maybe it's just me, but I have a tendency from time to time to think maybe I can lighten something up that has some gravity without fully understanding what was going on, and I end up with a foot in my mouth.
I can vouch for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot.
You have a great second opinion there.
Yeah. You know, that's an opinion she made up in a second. Yeah, I need a new co-host. You know anybody? No.
Well, the truth is, yes, I've had it a couple of times when that's happened. But, you know, more to that point, and it's a great point, you need to know your audience. I used to go to humor conferences. And New York, upstate New York, they used to have these humor conferences. And Bob Newhart, for instance, was the speaker one year. And he's been a hero of mine forever. He's one of the funniest men on the planet.
It's great.
And also one of the speakers that same year was Patch Adams.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if you remember that name, but
yes, I do.
They made a movie called Patch Adams about his. He's a real doctor. He's got a real hospital that he built himself with donations. He doesn't charge people to go there. But he started out as a surgeon. He's a big strapping fella. Robin Williams played him in the movies. But I got a hug from Patch Adams. It probably lasted me a lifetime. After he gave his talk, several of us stopped by to chat with him. And he was just amazing. Man, this is before the movie came out. So we were pretty early in that game. But Patch Adams said something that I never forgot. It made me focus on knowing my audience. He said, you know, there are situations in life where humor is going to make all the difference. But you need to know your audience because sometimes you can step in it. And then you've not only not helped, you may have hurt the situation. So he said, let me give you an example of me paying real good attention to my audience. He said I had a patient who was literally on his deathbed, ready to pass away. There was no question about it. He was going to die. There was nothing more we could do. His family was in there around the bed, sitting in his room, and they all had their, they were hanging their heads. There weren't any sounds coming out of the room. Nobody was talking. There were tears in their eyes. It was a sad, sad day. Obviously, they're going to lose this member of the family. But he said, I knew those people pretty well. And I said, I get to myself, and this is Patch Adams talking. He said, you know, I thought, Godfrey, I think I can make a difference here and give these people some time, some better time together at the end of this fellow's life. So he went and found a sheet, put it on, and he got some of those slippers that allow you to slide on a nice polished floor. And then he got something that looked like a hat, either fashioned it or found one or something, a small hat. And he got himself what looked like a halo fashioned in, out of a coat hanging with some glitter on it, and put it above his head, taped it at the back of his head on a stick or something. Anyway, he ran down the hallway, slid into the room, strummed that harp, and said, "Previews of coming attractions." Everybody roared, even the fellow who was dying. He knew his audience. He took a huge risk, but it made all the difference. As he told us in that conference, he said, you know, he lasted another 2 days, and every time I walked by that room, they were in there reminiscing, laughing, talking, enjoying each other instead of hanging their heads in sadness. They were going to be sad, and they were sad. They were going to lose him, and they were very sad when they did lose him. But the process of dying became a much more pleasant experience for everybody, including the person who was doing the deed. So to your point, it's very easy to step in. And I have. One night I gave a talk at the Calumet Club in Augusta, Maine, to bankers. And bankers have his... You know, they have a legendary non-humor style. And so I was up there working with them. It was going okay. It wasn't going great. I was up on the stage. All they had was a mic stand in front of me. About halfway through my material, and I told a joke. And I clearly, as I expressed earlier in this discussion here, I clearly left a couple of bricks out somewhere, because I got to the end of that story, delivered my punchline, not one laugh, not a snicker, nothing. In fact, I could see on their faces they were waiting for the punchline, which I had just delivered. I was amazed at myself that I had the wherewithal to come up with a response, and I leaned it. First of all, you need to know how good the autonomic nervous system of the human body is, because the second they didn't laugh, sweat trickled down my temple, and my fight or flight response was in full command. And I leaned into Mike, and I said, you know, you're a pretty sharp crowd. Most people don't get that one. And everybody laughed, because they realized that something had gone wrong on one end or the other, probably my end. I do believe that, because I could not every one of them is going to fail at the same level. It had to be me. So I dropped the ball somewhere, wasn't funny, didn't get a laugh, and they realized that it happened and that I recovered, and they thought that was wicked funny. So if you're on stage and you do step in it, or you do forget a couple of bricks in the story, you need to be prepared to recover. And it ain't easy. That's why public speaking is the number one fear of the American public. Someone said the other day, I think it might have been one of these big stars in Washington, not Washington, big stars. But anyway, one of these big stars in L.A. or New York said, if that's true, that you want to be, the biggest fear of public speaking is dying, most people would rather be, if they're going to a funeral, they'd rather be in the casket than the one giving a eulogy.
Now, David, I see all these ads about Medicare and zip codes. Can you tell me what my zip code has to do with Medicare?
Well, really not a lot. Some of these ads, in fact, many ads are misleading in that they suggest that if you have a particular zip code, you would be entitled to such and such. Well, the reality is it has little to do with your zip code and a lot to do with your income. In other words, those folks that are moderate to low income that can qualify for Medicare savings program may be entitled to many of those things. But it isn't really based on your zip code. My guess is that's the way these lead aggregators assign some of the leads based on what parts of the country or the parts of the state one is in. But it's very misleading. People have been calling the offices of the Senior Planning Center with that same question, Lynn. And the truth is, your Medicare health plan and any potential benefits you get has more to do with your income situation than it does your zip code.
Well, that's just fascinating. So what about these other ads I see on TV that they all show the red, white, and blue card, and they're flashing an 800 number to call and say, get all these extra benefits with your Medicare card?
And call now, right?
Call now.
Yeah, the number on this screen, call now. And you're right. They're red, white, and blue. A lot of times they use the word Medicare in their name, and they have a Medicare card on the screen. And because of the red, white, and blue and looking the way they do, you have to look with your glasses on to see where it says, this is a non-governmental entity. There are, in very small print, certain caveats that allow them to look like they're very important, that in fact, many of them portray themselves as being a Medicare hotline, so to speak, and they're not. And so why would anybody, you know, and don't get me wrong, most Mainers are wise to this, but there are always those that will call an 800 out-of-state number, and then they'll get flipped to somebody else, and that person will sign them up before they know what they've done. They're on a plan that may or may not be in their best interest. So, you know, one of the things that we try and guide people to is that why call an out-of-state 800 number when help is right here at home with the Senior Planning Center? We have locations throughout the state, and we have agent partners that are willing to come to you, handle things over the phone if necessary, or you can come to one of our many locations throughout Maine. And I really believe now more than ever, there are so many different plans and options that it is a confusing maze, and that folks do need to sit with a trusted professional to learn about their Medicare health plan options.
Well, I'll agree with that, David. My mother has asked me questions every time one of those ads come on. And it's so, she's 92. It's very confusing. So what's the number we should be calling for Senior Planning Center?
Well, you know, it's not an 800 number. It's 207-223-6565. Again, that's 207-223-6565. The Senior Planning Center, help when it matters most. I'm sure many folks agree that it's a good thing that winter does not last forever, but I'd like to share some quotes from others about winter. There is nothing better than curling up with a good book and sitting in front of the fire on winter evenings. I prefer winter in fall, when you feel the bone structure of the landscape. Something waits beneath it. The whole story doesn't show. Andrew Wyeth. In winter, I plot and plan. In spring, I move. Henry Rollins. He who marvels at the beauty of the world in summer will find equal cause for wonder and admiration in winter. John Burroughs. Winter is nature's way of saying up yours. Robert Brine. Laughter is the sun that drives winter from the human face. Victor Hugo. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. Senior Planning PlanningCenter.com.